Indiana Landmarks has a new leader. Brad Ward took over as president and CEO of the statewide historic preservation group this year. He's only the fourth person to lead the organization since it was founded in 1960. Jill Sheridan sat down with Ward, who is a Hoosier native but most recently worked in Charleston, South Carolina, to talk about preservation in Indiana.
When we look at somewhere like Indiana and considering historic preservation, I mean, it's much different than a city like Charleston. You know, what do you think are the biggest challenges that are facing historic preservation in Indiana?
Well, you just always have to ensure that it's put into the context of it's a tool, right? That it is a tool for how we grow as a community, how we thrive economically, how we develop, and actively reutilizing these buildings is what's most critical. It is for the people. As many stories as they contain and as the difference that they make, you know, over generations, they still have to be functional and purposeful going forward. The challenge just is making sure that we're helping adapt to today's standards of how do we use this structure in a meaningful way going forward. And I liken it to the fact that there's a lot of stuff that is built today, a lot of construction that's built today. And the question that I often have is, will we really care if this is still standing 50 years from now?
Funding is obviously going to be a challenge so often. Where do you start with people to find that willingness to, really engage and fund?
To your point, you know, it does take some significant dollars. We're in an environment where things are just getting kind of slashed and burned without any consideration or consequence. And so we're seeing that play out at the federal level. Now at the state level, it's going to have local impact. And so we might be slightly insulated at Indiana Landmarks because we are heavily philanthropic driven. But that just means that we're picking up a lot more slack for some of our colleagues and partners that have been lost. We're kind of dealing with it on two fronts. We're dealing with it in the infrastructure. You know, we often think that any kind of progress in a community is private, you know, philanthropic and public good. And public always exceeds what the private investment can make.
We see, you know, that passion play out here recently in Indianapolis, the Church of the Holy Cross, but also, you know, again, with that building, you know, the diocese saying that, you know, they don't have the money, though, to fix it. But you see a successful campaign like that to save the structure. So you know that people are invested.
Yeah. And Holy Cross is a great example of there actually are folks that, you know, have come forward both in the past and as of recent, you know, that have a vested interest in seeing it be part of the community fabric that it is. And it can play a role that would really honor the Catholic faith and the Catholic Church. I certainly believe that those solutions are there. The creativity and the willingness are there. We just might be getting sidelined again with some of those ideology questions, political questions about what really are we actually, you know, addressing here. We really are interested in trying to be as thoughtful as possible.
And where do you see some of the greatest opportunities for preservation, historic preservation in Indiana?
It can take place in to low to moderate income, you know, communities where we just try to help stabilize the housing stock that's already there by not letting it get washed away to where it becomes gentrified or it gets overpopulated or transitions from single family use to you know, multiplex. And we can see it in other parts where it's all about the cultural and civic assets. And, you know, preservation can be a key to protecting some of the historical assets that really give us that identity, that charm, that character. And then on a bigger scale, we just have a lot of old warehouses, old buildings, and old downtown structures that need new life in them, not just so that the buildings will stay with us because they really are remarkable structures and they're beautiful and architecturally and they have a lot of meaning tied to them, but because they just naturally create space for new ideas and new small businesses. Entrepreneurship is still driving force of economic gain. It isn't the big, you know, monstrous warehouses that tend to catch our attention. So how do we create spaces that those small businesses can thrive?
Thank you, Brad, so much for coming in to talk today.
Thank you.